Hey, this is Macy Gray, and you are listening to OC Caravan with Scott Hayes and Jim Bass.
Come on.
That's been Macy Gray mentioning our radio show, and of course, my co-host Jim Bass, and she was in our studio here a couple of weeks ago. Great guest. A lot of fun. And anyway, hey, welcome. This is KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is OC Caravan, and in the studio with me this morning, Mr. Jim Bastian. How are you, Jim?
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
You're looking very, very Southern California.
It's summer in February. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Is that too much?
I don't know. I just got blown out. Thanks, well, April.
It wasn't enough for me.
It's all right. It's all right.
Sorry, our headsets are
silly. It's crazy. My sister's in Connecticut. They've got 3 feet of snow on the ground. I got friends in Boston with 6 feet in the snow, and they're 70-mile-an-hour winds today.
Yeah. Oh, man.
10 degrees?
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful here.
And yeah, so figured I'd wear shorts because it's summer.
Well, I love that. Hey, by the way, just a reminder, OC Caravan appears, broadcast 8 p.m. Saturdays, which is tonight, 12 noon Sundays on Cox Channel 3, 250 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. And this weekend is Mission Hospital's Ken McFarland. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/radiocaravan. Or maybe OC Caravan. Yeah, April.
Well, your mic is really low. It's not working very well. Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on.
Can you hear me?
No matter how
Hello?
I turn.
Yeah. It sounds... You just got a text, too. You sound like you're in a tunnel.
You need a different mic.
Okay. Jim, talk.
Hey. So, Valentine's Day.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Oh, that's
much
great.
Better. There's
right,
something wrong with
is
that mic.
Is this Jill's other mic on?
Yep, we're good to go.
Great. Thank you for whoever sent the text, by the way. You want to give it a shout-out to anyone?
To Mayor.
Okay, great. Tell her thank you. Sorry, Jim. What were you saying?
No, Valentine's Day.
Yep.
Right? Is this a Hallmark holiday or is this a legitimate holiday?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I think that...
You got plans?
Yeah. Well, unfirm plans to do something. We're not going to... You know, it's kind of like New Year's Eve, right? Every restaurant has a prefix menu and they want to overcharge you and it's totally crowded. So I think it's kind of like amateur night on some level.
It is.
So I think my wife and I are just going to cruise around and check different things out and not really go to one specific place.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
So
it's like in Laguna. In Laguna, I always sort of say, you know, let's just fall into something.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just see what feels right.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm into that. So
yeah,
I think that's the plan. The plan is no plans and then we'll see what we fall into.
Great. Well, next week you can tell us what you fell into.
Indeed. But yeah, busy week this week for me.
In what way?
Just crazy at work, but
gotcha.
Thursday night we took the kids up to the Pantages Theater to see Wicked.
Oh, that's fun.
My middle daughter, who you've all met, who's kind of the performing artist of the family, wanted to go, and so we surprised them with some tickets, and we took our oldest daughter and my son, who was completely against going to this thing.
Yeah.
13-year-old boy.
It's but.
Like, are you actually, I think he liked it.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, he wasn't quite sure what it was, and we got there, and you know, now I hear him kind of going, you know, popular. No, I don't know if he's all into that, but he had a good time. We had a good time. But I got to tell you, driving from Orange County to Los Angeles on a Thursday, 4 o'clock, that was brutal. We had 6 o'clock dinner reservations. We made it by 6:30. But, man, that is just an arduous, painful task.
It to drive. Is.
We got up there pretty quickly. You know, you can take the toll road or the fast track lane on the 110.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we hit downtown, it was probably an hour and a half to get from downtown to Hollywood.
Yeah. First time you'd seen Wicked?
Third
time, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Wow. Well, with daughters, you know, you got to roll it. So my wife and I went originally, and then I took my middle daughter, just her and I, at the OC Performing Arts Center a couple years ago. And then it was passing through again, so we decided to check it out.
That's great. Have you seen it, Jill?
No, I'm so jealous. 3 times? That's not fair.
Yeah.
You should go check it out if you get the opportunity. April, have you?
No,
It'd be
April.
Fun.
Let's go together.
Yeah,
I'd like that. Let's do that.
It's playing all over the place. It's great. It's a great show. It's a great message. You know the story?
Mm-hmm.
It's the backstory on the Wicked Witch of the West. No, it's great. It's great.
Well, okay, so we've got a lot going on this morning. I know Miss April has put together a Valentine's Day special segment that we're going to hear a little bit later. Also around 8:30, we got calling in a Todd Raphael, who's editor-in-chief of ERE. He can probably pronounce that for me. It's a multimedia company for a community of professional recruiters, and he's going to talk about social media and how we can sort of maximize our social media to advance our careers. At least that's in theory. We'll see where that leads. But before we go anywhere, Miss Jill Harvey.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you.
Nice
You're
to
all
see you.
Dressed to work out this morning, I can
am.
See.
I am. Big yoga class this morning at the Renaissance in Aliso Viejo.
Yeah, that's a beautiful facility there,
it
by the
is,
way,
isn't it?
It really is.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yes. It's like this little diamond in the rough that, you know, stands out there. And,
Yeah, it's spectacular.
So what do we have on the healthy lifestyle tips this morning?
Chocolate.
Ooh, not a big
Chocolat.
Fan.
Chocolat.
Oh, do you love that movie?
That was a good movie, yeah.
You're learning a lot about me. It's like chocolate, wicked. What's going on here?
That's good, though. You have that side. That's nice. So we're talking about the benefits of chocolate. So we have a lot of people are into cacao.
What?
Cacao nibs, cacao.
Is that so how you say that?
No, so there's cocoa.
Oh.
And there's cacao. So cocoa is a more processed form of cacao. Cacao is raw in its form. It comes from, so the cacao tree is a tree. It's a tree that fruits and
it spell it. C-A-C-O-A?
C-A-C-A-O. Uh-huh. Or cocoa is C-O-C-O-A.
Cacao.
Wow. Right?
That's what I thought she was saying.
Sorry.
The cow.
So it's a fruit-bearing tree, and they have these pods, and inside the pods are the cacao beans. And they take the beans, and they open them up, and inside is the cocoa butter.
Hmm.
So that's used for many things, skincare, even people will eat it, work with it. And then the leftover shell is what they chop up to make cacao nibs. Then they compress that into a paste to start making dark chocolate.
Hmm.
So then it gets even further processed, and that's when it becomes cocoa. And they start alkalizing it because it can be acidic in its natural form. So we love dark chocolate, and the higher the percentage of the dark chocolate, the better.
The better it is for
yes,
you?
Yes. So when you're processing it, you're adding, especially if they add high fructose corn syrup, not a good idea.
Hmm.
You know, stay away from that on any accounts. Then you get, which I will eat occasionally, like at Christmas, the red and green M&Ms. So now you're getting into the artificial colorings.
Mm.
Do you guys like milk or dark chocolate?
I like milk chocolate.
I'm milk.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not like dark chocolate.
You guys are going to die.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't like of something, anyway.
Chocolate's not usually high on my list of sweets.
Yeah, right. I agree with that.
It's only a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Right. But when you indulge, you should really try and adjust your palate,
because
dark chocolate is... You just look like you threw up in your mouth, Jim.
I might have, actually.
No,
it's
white,
okay.
I like white chocolate.
Yeah, no.
And that's terrible.
Yeah,
it's
way
like
processed.
The worst.
Yeah. So the higher the
percentage. Every time I come in here,
now.
Jill just tells me basically everything I do in my life is completely wrong.
Yeah, I think
you cry.
That's
when
why
you
she's here, though, to let us know these
holy
things.
Holy cow.
We're counting the days there.
No,
Jim.
Holy cacao.
Holy cacao.
Awesome, Scott.
Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah. So we look at. The higher the percentage. You can go over to Whole Foods. You can go to any health food store.
I don't
store
even know where these places are.
We'll go on a field trip one day. We'll go on a field trip. And they have chocolate bars. And the higher the percentage of the dark chocolate cacao, the better for you. They're richer in antioxidants. But, you know, even dark chocolate, milk chocolate is just highly, highly processed. Sorry. But, you know, you can enjoy it. You have to enjoy life. So we have them high in antioxidants. They can reduce your blood pressure. They can, they're high in magnesium, which is really, really good for brain health and muscle health and nerve health. And you can also get it in powdered form. And you can add a scoop of like raw cacao to your smoothies.
That sounds really bad.
It's really good.
Raw cacao.
Raw cacao.
A cacao patty.
That's wrong.
And also, it's a natural.
Very high in nutrients.
It's a
magnesium
natural
sulfates.
Magnesium helps you go poop. Anyway, there you go.
Yay.
So, and also is it's a natural antidepressant. So it's high in serotonin, right?
Mm.
And then that helps increase your endorphins, which is really good. It lowers your LDL cholesterol. They actually did a study, and it showed that the lousy LDL cholesterol actually goes down if you have like 1 to 2 ounces of dark chocolate a day.
Does it affect the HDL at all?
So probably if you're bringing the LDLs
it
down, the HDLs are going to get better.
That's
So you're saying every day have 2 ounces of dark chocolate?
Let's go with an ounce.
An ounce?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as long as it's not processed. Yes, Scott.
Like Costco has these bags of like blueberry with dark chocolate wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be something that's edible? And the blueberries?
Yeah, not the whole bag. Because they have the blueberries, they have pomegranates.
Yeah, but 1 ounce.
I'm not even going to look at Jim.
What's 1 ounce look like, by the way?
Well,
It's not much.
What is it?
Like probably, a like a little square.
Like a little square?
A little square. Yeah. Like maybe two of those squares.
Two squares. Okay. Yeah.
Let's get a scale in here one day and have a chocolate fest.
Yeah.
So, can I have ice cream?
It also, yes. It also, only if it's hormone free.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Man. Holy cacao.
Man.
I'm going to cry over here.
So it also lowers your blood pressure. Did I say that?
Yeah.
It's a cancer fighter. And they have shown studies where it can prevent tooth decay. Hmm. So because of the Jim, you see, well, now you're going to go.
Why aren't they like giving this stuff out every day on the corners?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah,
they should be, right. I don't know.
I mean, I'm taking like, you know, omega-3 fatty acids and all this other stuff.
We got some of those going on in here too.
I should be popping a dark chocolate pill every day,
You should. Do you know that the magnesium level is higher in dark chocolate than it is in any other plant as well?
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, the best thing is, though, you know, we can't be so strict. I may have friends, you know, that are so strict and purist, and you don't want to be that strict. You have to enjoy. So if you're having your dark chocolate with some ice cream, go ahead, but not every day.
Sure.
And not in large portions.
So how do you know which dark chocolate is good for you versus one that is maybe processed and not good for you? So if I just went to, like, grabbed a Hershey's dark chocolate bar, one of the little minis, is that going to be it? Or do you think that's probably not?
It's processed. Hershey's going to be processed more than what you might find at Whole Foods.
Okay.
So you're going to look at the ingredient list, too. You're going to stay away from high fructose corn syrup, a lot of extra fats added. So you really are going to go into, the Puritans would say raw cacao. Raw cacao nibs also give you a lot of energy. One time I thought, oh, I'll eat these, and I threw like 2 tablespoons in my smoothie. I was jacked all day.
Hmm.
So it definitely, now we're liking it.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. So stay away from, I mean, Hershey's fine. I mean, I do like a little Hershey's, but...
Okay.
Try it. I'll bring some in sometime.
Yeah.
We'll try it. You can also make chocolate pudding out of dark chocolate with avocado.
With avocado?
Mm-hmm.
What's up with
really
that?
It's really good. It's really
what do you mean
good.
With avocado?
You use that
I mean, I
as
like
the
avocado.
Base for the fat.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, it is so amazing. And then chocolate chia seed pudding.
You're going to make that and bring it in. Let's try that.
You guys all have this look of disgust
I
on
know,
your face.
I like...
I'm taking away the pleasure of chocolate, but it's also, let's go back to pleasure. Aphrodisiac.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's true, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like real? That's a myth, right?
Well, when you increase your serotonin levels, right, mm-hmm. and your endorphins go up and you feel good, you're going to be feeling good across the board, right?
Got
and
it.
Yeah, so Scott, you look like you have something to. Oh.
No?
No. Oh, okay.
No?
Okay, I just want to make sure that, you know.
I'm good.
Okay, yeah.
I'm all
but
good.
You know, the best thing is it's yummy.
Well, for some of you, we said, three of us don't like it so much.
Yeah, I don't eat it every day either. Yeah.
Well, I might start now just because.
Yeah, work it into your
Let
diet.
Let it melt in your mouth slowly.
Okay.
Also, they have dark chocolate that is heated with a little cayenne pepper. It's amazing.
Hmm.
Sexy.
All right, Miss Jill.
All
very
right.
nice.
Yeah.
Healthy lifestyle reporter.
It's
always
like, you
good
know,
advice.
Remember the Seinfeld episode where George Costanza just came to the epiphany that I should basically do everything
the opposite.
So I've decided with Jill and nutrition and healthy living and everything that I do, I should just do the opposite.
Great. So let's start. What did you buy from Starbucks this morning?
It's just my normal Grande Pike.
Okay. So what are you going to do the opposite next time you go to Starbucks?
I guess a tea, green tea.
No, coffee is great. Have your coffee. It's fine. You know, have a little piece of dark chocolate with it.
Good antioxidants.
Yeah.
That's what you put in the
Have
coffee,
you tried green tea?
Yeah.
I can't drink it.
I do. I mean, I should.
I don't like it.
I love
you
it.
Love it?
Mm. A little honey in there. I love
oh,
it.
Yeah.
I'm a coffee guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not. I just... One in the morning, that's all I
that's
need.
That's my coffee. I like coffee as well.
That's it.
And they're showing good functioning brains with coffee. So, yeah.
Could you put a little piece of dark chocolate
sure.
in the coffee?
Why not?
I mean, that would
it.
Seem the way to do it.
As
Why not?
Little, yeah.
yeah.
Or a little cocoa powder.
A little cacao.
Cacao.
Cocoa.
Cacao.
No.
That cocoa's too processed.
Really?
Actually, yeah, I throw some vanilla powder in this, too.
You did?
And then
it's probably artificial.
Cream?
One and a half Splendas.
Ooh. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
But I moved away from Sweet and Low because I heard Splenda was better.
I don't know.
Oh.
Jill,
no.
that true?
Say, wait, go to Stevia.
There you go.
They don't have that at Starbucks.
I know. I bring my own. I actually have it in my
purse.
Are
you one of those crazies that bring your own stuff wherever you go? Like
kind
of. Serving?
Some things.
I didn't mean to be. I meant crazy with all love.
Yeah.
I
came across that way.
We got it.
I'm creepy.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, let's do this. Thank you, Miss Jill.
You
very
are
kind
welcome.
Of you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, speaking.
You know, Valentine's. I was just thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's the day and night of couples.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, you know. you know about the one couple that was, you know, they've been together a really long time, married, and so the wife decided to spice it up, so she went down to the lingerie shop and she got herself a bustier and some stockings and, you know, the crotchless panties that are so popular on this day.
Wow.
She's going to, you know, spice it up for her husband when he gets home from the golf course. And so husband comes trudging in and, you know, it's kind of grumpy guy. And the wife is standing at the top of the stairs and she's got her outfit on. And she's like, hey, big guy, you want some of this? And he's like, hell no. Look what it did to your underwear.
Very.
And then there's the other couple, you know, that they've been together a long time, and so they had a really nice day, and they were down by the water, you know, having some margaritas and just enjoying the sun and nice day like this. And so they're driving down Coast Highway, and the top's down, and they're just free and easy and going, and they get pulled over. Husband's driving, is like, holy cow, and he tells his wife, put your seatbelt on, you know, we don't want to get a ticket for that. And so she's like, no. He puts his seatbelt on, and officer comes up, you know, license, registration, proof of insurance, and I'm sorry, officer. And she's, the wife goes, you know, he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, he just put it on. He's like, shut up, woman, be quiet. He's like, sir, did you have your seatbelt on? And he goes, oh, no. And he's like, all right, well, we'll deal with that later. And she's like, you know, his insurance has expired. Woman, be quiet, I'm telling you, just knock it off right now. And the officer's like, ma'am, does your husband treat you this way? He's like, only when he's been drinking.
Very good. Wow. So,
Jim, telling the jokes this morning. A whole side of your personality coming out.
Yeah. I try to surprise you, you know, every week, do something else.
Something spiked in the coffee this morning, maybe.
No. Splenda. Splenda. Cacao.
Cacao.
Yeah, indeed.
All right. Well, listen, speaking of Valentine's, was that our caller, by the way? Is he on hold?
Yes, he is.
Great. So, April, let's do this. Let's get to your segment, because I know you sort of put something together for today's, you know, holiday. Okay. You want to walk us through what it is? And
Yeah. For Valentine's week, I decided to do something a little different for, now I'm calling it Music Madness, which used to be Legends of Rock. So.
Right.
I interviewed some people about what their favorite love song is and why, and then I play a little clip of that song. And so I put this segment together for Valentine's week.
Beautiful.
Are we ready for it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hi, I'm April Johnson, and you're listening to OC Caravan with Scott Hayes and Jim Bastian. This week for Music Madness, in light of Valentine's Day, I have asked some people what their favorite love songs are and why, and here's what they have to say.
Hi, this is Bob, and my favorite love song is tough because there's so many great ones, you know. I don't think I really have a favorite, but I was reacquainted with a song in the last week or so I hadn't heard for years that is a gorgeous song, and it's a great love song, and it's called Martha by Tom Waits.
That I still am, but all that really mattered then was that I was a man. I guess that our being together was never meant to be. And Martha, Martha, I love you.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and my favorite love song is My Sweet Lady by John Denver because it's the first song my husband played on his 12-string guitar and sang to me when we were dating that made me fall madly in love with him.
I promise I will stay right here beside you. Today our lives were joined, became entwined. I wish you could know how much I love you, lady. Are you happy? Do you feel the way I do? Are there meanings that you've never seen before? Lady, my sweet lady, I just can't believe it's true. And it's like I've never, ever loved before.
Hi, my name is Jeff, and my favorite love song is Annie's Song by John Denver. And the reason that I like that so much is it was written for his wife, but also it has to do with nature. And the mountains and the springs and the trees and everything. So I think it's very romantic.
Come, let me love you. Let me give my life to you. Let me drown in your laughter. Let me die in your arms. Let me lay down beside. Let me always be with you. Come, let me love you. Come, love me
Hey, April, it's Julian and Carrie. We have two favorite love songs we're going to give you. The first is Summertime Rolls from Jane's Addiction. That's a song that Carrie and I listened to when we first met in Cabo San Lucas. And the second is In My Life by the Beatles, which is arguably the greatest love song ever written. And we played it for our first dance when we were married.
Yellow buttercup, helicopters. But I can't chasing after the crazy feeling about somebody. Oh no.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better, some have gone, and some remain, all these places.
That wraps it up for Music Madness, and thanks for listening to OC Caravan. Happy Valentine's Day.
Okay, you're listening to Kix 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. Of course, I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Jim Bastian.
Scott, what's your favorite love song?
Wow. You know, I don't know. I'd have to give that some serious thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Endless Love?
No.
Come on. Sure?
I like Lionel Richie. I'll have to be honest. I like a lot of his.
Say You, Say Me? Hello?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is it me you're looking for?
Here we go.
You know, I'd have to think about that, too. There are some really cool current love songs.
Yeah. And,
but my girlfriend text messaged in, does anybody like Ben?
Ben? Yeah.
Michael Jackson song?
Yeah.
It's about a rap,
she's
right?
Kidding.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Uh-huh. Any event, this is a KX 93.5 OC Caravan, and on the phone, I'm hoping he's there, we had Todd Raphael. Todd, are you there?
I'm here.
There he is. He's editor-in-chief at, is it ERE, Todd? Is that how you say it?
ERE website is ere.net, among other websites we have, yeah.
And you're a multimedia company for a community of recruiting professionals around the world, correct?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. We have recruiters from, and human resources people from really every continent, about 60% U.S., 40% overseas. I'm in touch with them on, you know, every continent on a daily basis. So about 250,000 people every month. Recruiters and human resources people of one kind or another on our site.
Well, that's interesting. So what's the difference? I mean, let me back up just so we know. What's the difference between a human resources person and a recruiter?
Well, a human resources person might be spending their time on things like recruiting, but as well also on things like benefits, training, other activities that have to do with managing a workforce, whereas recruiters are out finding people, trying to decide who to hire, convincing them to get hired, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And is there still a market for recruiters these days? I mean, the Internet is so available to everyone. And if I wanted to go out and track down a job, there are so many sites and resources I could go to look for that. Are recruiters still out there hustling employees for employers? Do they work mostly for the employers, or they work mostly for the employees?
There's a bigger market now. I mean, it used to be, you're right, now with things like LinkedIn, it's easier to find what jobs are open. It's easier to find people in some ways. You're right. But I'd say there is a bigger market for recruiters now. Actually, recruiting itself is one of the hot jobs along with other jobs. And that's because it's just so competitive now in some fields, not in others, but in some fields it's just so competitive trying to get people to work for you that it's made the skill of a recruiter more valuable, more important.
Todd, this is Jim. You mentioned LinkedIn, and one of the things that you read about with LinkedIn success and how pervasive it is, it has become sort of the online marketplace for talent. Do you agree with that? And how does LinkedIn specifically or other sites play into this whole idea of finding jobs and finding people?
I agree. LinkedIn is important. It's huge. It's one of thousands, literally thousands of new sites that have sprouted up the last few years to match employers and employees. But among the people who are really hot commodities, you know, your hotshot tech employees, for example, in certain parts of the world like Silicon Valley, they're getting bombarded with emails on LinkedIn. Some of them are spammy. Some of them are just not targeted. So LinkedIn is really, really important and great, but it's not a panacea. It's not like it's not a solution or answer to everyone's recruiting or so-called skills shortage problem.
So what is, if there is one, or what are the tools?
I don't know that there is one answer. One of them, is dependent on your company and what kind of a workplace it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be a physical place, but what kind of environment or what kind of mission you have. Are people wanting to work there? Are people inspired about it? I mean, think of the companies that are like flooded with resumes, like a Google or something, or Tesla. You know, those companies have a reputation. They have like a brand. People want to work there. They're drawn to it. In some ways, you barely have to recruit for them. I mean, that's an exaggeration because there are certainly some very hot jobs at those companies. But recruiting is not just about, hey, calling someone up and saying, hey, we've got a job for you. It's also about taking a company and really defining what it's all about. I mean, you could have a company that's like, say, a Cisco, just in the business of routers and switches and things that we don't deal with on a daily basis necessarily as consumers touch on a daily basis. But the company Cisco's job is to get people excited about what it's doing. It's doing cybersecurity, and it's doing the Internet of Things or the Internet of Everything, if you've ever heard of all that stuff, like how you're going to wire your whole house and all that. So that's important stuff, and it's a job for companies to get people excited about what they do.
It seems to me you're describing a bit of a buyer's market as opposed to a seller's market, in that the talent kind of has some leverage and the companies are vying for all of that talent that's out there, or maybe the shortage of talent, because what you're describing is the tech world, where maybe there aren't as many qualified people as the companies currently need.
Yeah, you know, the buyer-seller thing, I think it really depends on the industry. I think some jobs are really hot, like some types of nurses or some types of teachers, not others. Some types of tech employees, probably not others. It really just depends. You know, you could have someone who's in a less competitive field, but like, I don't know, public relations or something. Maybe it's a little less hot than a little. There are more people out there searching than, say, in some tech fields, but if you have the right public relations skills or whatever it is that the company wants, that's a whole different story. So, you know, it depends on the field, depends on how I don't know, up to date you are with what you're doing in your field.
Todd, you know, Jim is an attorney. He's a partner in a law firm in Irvine, California. And so he's coming perhaps from the perspective of the employer. Mm-hmm. I come from the perspective of the guy who's never been hired by a company ever in his life. Right? And so I'm wondering, for those people who are looking for jobs, for people, let's say I'm out looking for a job, how can those people maximize their social media, their internet profile, in order to better position themselves for that ideal job?
One thing you were mentioning when you were introducing me in the earlier part of the show, you were mentioning that I was coming on, was that I wanted to mention that a lot of the advice I see out there about social media, job seeking, and furthering your career, I don't really agree with. I think it's wrong. A lot of the advice has to do with, you know, you have to be so careful not to say anything that could come back to haunt you on social media and all that kind of stuff. And I see the point. I've seen people who have been fired for what they say on social media. I think we all have. But the advice, I think, is maybe taken too literally, too extreme. I think that social media is a chance to stand out. And yes, it's possible to be, maybe you'll offend someone. Maybe people will disagree with you. Or maybe you could be too provocative. I mean, if you have, you know, radical views, maybe don't express them on social media, perhaps. But beyond that, I think the advice of, you know, being so careful on social media is maybe taking a little bit too much to heart. People need to really stand out on social media and you know, use it as a chance to be yourself. And that might be different because we're all different. So, you know, if you're trying to get more business as a plumber, maybe there's some interesting or funny videos you could make or blog posts you could do or whatever it is. I mean, on another radio show, I hear this mechanic guy, I think his name is Leon Kaplan.
Hey.
And the other day I drove by, I didn't really know where his place was, I don't live near there, but I drove by and I said, oh my God, that's the guy from the radio. And I thought, you know what, if I lived near here, I'd probably go to the guy. I mean, I kind of trust that he knows what he's talking about from listening to the show. I think you can really make a name for yourself on social media.
Does everybody need an online profile? Do you believe people can get jobs if they're not online? There are a lot of people who kind of stay removed from that environment.
I don't know that they need one. I think I think it's certainly possible. I think there are plenty of people I know who are not that active on social media and are plenty successful. So I wouldn't say that everyone does. But again, it's a way to stand out. It's a way to help yourself. Whether it's Twitter or LinkedIn or another site, Facebook even perhaps.
What advice would you give to a young person just entering the job market right now? You know, you've got kids on Facebook and Twitter and, you know, some of the things that you mentioned. You know, at least for college recruiters, for example, they tend to go to those things to make sure that the student that they're considering is not, you know, doing anything improper. But any advice that you would have for young people just starting out as to how to build a profile that's going to help them become more employable?
Well, you might find out who it is that you are interested in and what it is you're interested in, whether it's a person, a company, or a topic, and take an interest in that and make something of that. So you can tweet and retweet about it. You can, if this is a verb, I don't know, favorite things. You can, you know, say that someone really is a fan of Scott Hayes, and they've been reading his stuff, and they listen to his stuff, and they want to kind of get to know him. You know, maybe he tweets something that they want to retweet, or they want to favorite on Twitter, and that kind of over time gets his attention. And they don't have to do it in a phony way. They don't have to just spend their life trying to get attention by favoriting random people. But hopefully, it's from the heart. It's genuine. They're genuinely interested in Scott's stuff, and so it's a very natural thing to do.
I don't think anybody would be interested in anything, Scott.
No, everybody's shaking their head no on that. And I will be honest with you that, you know, I've had my website up for years. I don't know, maybe 15 years. And I keep it fresh. I try to keep it fresh and updated. And, you know, I've posted my books. I've posted my articles. We've been posting our radio show. We've been posting our cable TV shows. I'm on these various accounts, including LinkedIn. And I've never once gotten a phone call from anybody offering me anything. So I'm not even sure.
I go back to what I just said. Who are you?
I'm nobody.
Retweeting. Who are you retweeting? Whose stuff are you favoriting? When you see something on LinkedIn, whose stuff do you comment on? I mean, I think it's kind of about them. There was a list that came out a couple days ago about the 50, it was something like 50 HR and recruiting people you should follow. So, of course, those of us who are on a list we're a bunch of egotistical narcissists, so we're all, you know, sending it to our mothers and tweeting it around and getting a lot of attention for it. And people who are not on the list, there's a big blog about how they should have been on the list, blah, blah, blah. That was about us. Glassdoor put this list out. It was about us. So What if, Scott, you let's just say it was dark chocolate. Now all I can think about is dark chocolate after your meeting.
Thank you, Jill.
So what if you're trying to, I don't know, get attention from dark chocolate people, and you made a list of the 10 best kinds of dark chocolate for you, and you kind of ranked them, and you described them and their antioxidant content and stuff. That might be something that would get attention from the dark chocolate industry, and they would tweet it and retweet it and stuff. So saying that you put a website up and then people didn't come to it, I don't know that that is or isn't evidence of anything. I would think it would be a different story if you said, Todd, I put up this fascinating post about the 10 best types of dark chocolate, and no one interested in dark chocolate tweeted it or retweeted or favored it. That would surprise me.
So the idea is kind of you piggyback on hot topics or people that may have a following, and if you say something interesting or post something interesting, their audience might become your audience.
Yes, and presumably you don't have to try too hard to do that. Presumably it's a natural thing. You know, presumably Scott is interested in something, and it would be very natural for him to write about it, talk on an audio about it, or make a video about
That's a false assertion.
I'm getting ripped today, but I deserve it, Todd. I deserve
it. You're just an easy setup there.
You know, OC Caravan, this show, we podcast our radio show. We post our cable TV show once it's aired on Cox. We have a Facebook page. We're not tweeting. Should we be tweeting?
Yes, I don't think it's the solution to all the world's problems, but certainly, I mean, look how Twitter is ingrained in other things. Forget if you go to Twitter.com. Forget that. You turn on the TV and you turn on ESPN Sports Center, and they've got tweets they're reading from cards, and they got tweets on the screen. And you read articles on Gawker, and they've embedded tweets. They say, oh, the Twittersphere is talking about this, and they put other tweets in there. So it's like Twitter is not just Twitter.com or, you know, Hootsuite, which is like a tool that people use to view their tweets. Twitter is like this thing that's like a launching pad. It's like, you know, it's like almost like Google. It's like you may not read something on Google.com or YouTube.com, but you might see that on Facebook or something. You know, it's a conduit. So yes, I would say to use Twitter. Who knows where else that may end up? Use so-called hashtags when appropriate. Yeah, maybe there's a hashtag.
Todd, help us with that. Tell us the purpose and objective of hashtagging something and what it actually accomplishes out there, because, frankly, it's a mystery to me.
Well, it's a way to keep track of something or to look something up. For example, there might be someone that has set up some sort of a stream or setting where they follow a hashtag like Laguna Beach or Tarzana or surfing or something like that.
Dark chocolate.
And so they've got some stream where they're looking at things, people who say things about that topic. So if you use that hashtag, it might be more likely to show up on someone's
stream. So for example, if we wanted to tweet about dark chocolate and say, hey, Jill Harvey, we tweet out, Jill Harvey says dark chocolate is the panacea for all ills, hashtag dark chocolate. So that would be the move. And so anybody interested in dark chocolate would see that hashtag, and then theoretically it would drive traffic to our universe on this show.
Well said.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, see, I got it.
You nailed it.
Here's the thing.
Certainly the more broad hashtags might work less well. So if you use the hashtag, I don't know, California. I mean, that's probably so broad. I'm not sure what that would do.
Hashtag cacao.
Crotchless yeah, panties.
There you go. Hashtag I mean, I just looked at that. Look at the hashtag dark chocolate, and there are a lot of, you know, photos and posts and stuff. I mean, that would be, sounds like a perfect one to use.
You know, it's a lot of work. I mean, you know, we have, I don't know, maybe a dozen people on any given show kind of doing various parts of this show. And we have Katie, who does most of our social media stuff. And it's a lot of work for one person to go out and build a website, get on LinkedIn, follow up with your Facebook page, you know, do these hashtag sort of, you know, techniques, et cetera. Are you actually thinking, are you actually suggesting, Todd, that it's worth it for people who are in the job market to go through all of this effort to make all of that happen?
Not necessarily people in the job market. It could be someone who's listening to this show right now and may not be looking for a job, but they're looking for business or something. We had a guy do a chimney inspection at our house, and, you know, where they look at your chimney and they tell you that, you know, your house is going to explode if you roast a marshmallow and stuff, and, you know, all this kind of alarmist stuff. And so he told me, I forgot the statistic, but a huge, maybe it was 40% of his business comes from marketing on Yelp and social media and media like that, online media, particularly Yelp, Angie's List, and stuff like that. And not all of that is social media, depending on your definition. But, you know, that's a chimney guy. I've heard a similar thing from a home inspector guy named Bill who did our home inspection. He said the plurality of his business, a new business, was being generated from those kinds of sites like Angie's List, Yelp, social media, stuff like that. So it's not just, I think, for job seeking, but people who might be in a business, a job, they maybe just want, maybe they're not even trying to generate new business. Maybe they're just in a job and they want to kind of boost their reputation or get more of an exposure for what they do.
Jim, let me ask you a question. You know, you're an employer. How many employees do you have at your company?
40-something.
40-something, yeah. So when you're out looking for the right person for the right role at your firm, what process does your company take to get there?
I think for us, candidly, it's a lot of word of mouth relationship, people that we know or know someone that we know, because we're looking for specific talent that there's a marketplace out there. Certainly you can go, you know, there's legal recruiting sites and there's organizations, trade groups that kind of talk about finding legal secretaries, paralegals, attorneys, etc. There are search firms, recruiting firms that go out there. But for us, if we can have some other relationship that can basically substantiate the person that we're looking at, that's more beneficial to us.
Do you do any sort of online searching of a candidate's background, check their online profiles, any of that sort of thing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, not as much as you might think. Hmm. And one of the things, we've had very low turnover. So we have people that have been with us for the most part. I'd say well over 80% of our employees have been with us over 10 years. Hmm. So we're not constantly turning people over to look for new people.
Yeah.
But when needed, our HR person will go through sort of the normal channels that legal recruiters use to find people.
Very cool. Todd, last question. Let me ask you, what one piece of advice would you give to people out there who are looking to maximize their online platform, whether it's for business, whether it's for a job, whatever?
Unless you're really crazy, unless you're really weird, unless you're really discriminatory or racist or sexist, be yourself. Be yourself in real life and be yourself on social media. And that will probably be the best way to be successful and to build your brand, build your reputation. And it's advice that's not given enough, because most advice seems to be about minimizing risk, which does work, but also minimizes reward.
Very nice, Todd. Todd Raphael, Editor-in-Chief at ERE, multimedia company for community of recruiting professionals around the world. Todd, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for calling in.
We
appreciate your time, man.
Thanks.
Take care. April, you're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes here with my co-host, Jim Bastian. This, of course, is OC Caravan. April, let's go to a little music here. You got something for us?
Yep, you got it.
I've been searching for a long time for someone exactly like you. I've been traveling all around the world waiting for you to come through. Someone like you. Satisfied, someone exactly like you. See, I've been traveling a hard road, looking for someone exactly like you. I've been carrying for the light to come. shining through. Someone like you to make it all worthwhile. Someone like you to keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like you. I've been doing some soul searching. Find out where you're at. I've been up and down this highway in all kinds of foreign land. But someone like you make it all worthwhile. Someone like you keep me satisfied. Marching to the beat of a different drum. But my baby, I have realized the best is yet to come. Someone like you to make it all.
All right, beautiful song, April. Nice job. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This, of course, is Radio Caravan. I'm in the studio this morning with my co-host, Jim Bastian, of course, engineer April Johnson. And, you know, oftentimes some of the more interesting conversation is what goes on when the mics are off.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Excuse me, we're sitting here having these discussions that are sort of interesting, but we,
yes.
You know, not that we're going there right now, but.
No, I hear you. That's why we got to keep it real and extemporaneous. Maybe we just hold all conversation to when we're on the air, right? And then we can just let everybody know what we're talking about.
You know what's funny, though? When we have guests and we're out there sort of talking about things and I hear that they're starting to go off on a story,
yeah.
I really try to just say, you know what? Let's not even go there yet. Let's wait till you come into the room.
Right, exactly.
More spontaneous. So.
For sure.
For sure.
April, what are your big plans for tonight?
No big plans. Maybe a movie dinner.
Maybe a movie?
Something, yeah.
Movie? 50 Shades of Grey?
I'd love to see that.
You all into that?
I don't know if my boyfriend's into it or
really?
Not. Really?
Well, hey, that's a good litmus test right there. You're going to find out in a hurry.
Yeah, we'll see.
Would you go see that movie with your wife?
Yeah, you know, it was fun. I asked her the other day whether she'd go see it, and she said, yeah, maybe, but not at this rabid level that all these people are seeing. I hear it's actually not really a great movie.
Yeah.
And
oh, really?
I think that's the issue, is that when you see the written word and you're able to do it privately, I think that was kind of the phenomenon of the book. Now that they're putting it out there as basically softcore porn,
right.
I don't know that people are going to be necessarily as interested. But it'll be really interesting to see the box office after this weekend and then the second week, how it lasts.
Yeah.
My bold prediction is they'll probably do 25 to 30 million this weekend.
Yeah.
They'll do 5 to 10 next, and it's going to end up being a dud.
That's it.
I think it's going to be.
Would you go, Scott?
I would go. I have no problem going. I just don't have any real great fascination for it. I think what he says is sort of accurate. Mm-hmm. There was a movie that came out years ago with Mickey Rourke.
9.5 weeks.
9.5 weeks, which was sort of similar in concept.
But actually better done. I mean, everything I'm hearing is that this one is not subtle at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't leave anything to the imagination, whereas that one was, you know, for the time, it was really a different kind of flick.
Yeah. And so, and the reviews I've read about this movie are not even – the sex isn't even that good.
Right.
So, I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's not a good story. The sex isn't – I mean, I haven't seen it, so I can't really predict, say, but
– Yeah. No, and then I heard something like there was a screening in New York, and at the end of the movie, everybody broke out in laughter. Like, it's become a joke. It's
really?
Like, wow. How bad it is. So, you know, it'll be interesting. I'll
stay home and have my own 50 Shades of
Grey. There you go.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, they're selling these in these crotchless panty stores now, the kits. You can get a 50. I saw it in the newspaper yesterday that there's actually 50 Shades of Grey kits that you can buy.
That's weird.
And take home. The handcuffs, the...
The whip, whatever.
All for kids?
All, no,
Mark,
no,
come
no.
on in here.
There's no, no, not for kids.
Cool.
Mark, come here for a second. Mark, come over. That phone, that doesn't work. Come over here, Mark. Don't be afraid. In the studio, we have Mark Miller,
of course,
who is co-host of the show, The Friendship Show, which comes on after our show here. And I know you've got an interesting guest out there, and I thought maybe you want to kind of preview the guest coming in.
What? I don't... Well, it's not... It's Yeah, I was going to say. No, here's Dawn Price. Nope, and she's walking out of the room. It's not really my guest. Dawn Price is my co-host, and she brought in this extremely interesting person today. So here, I'll tell you a little bit about it. Michael Chaney is a professor of communication and an associate professor of economics at the University of Illinois Springfield.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get to the good stuff. He's going to be talking about what?
He's going to be talking about Beatlemania.
Did we not say that?
Oh, he teaches a class in Beatlemania. He's taught it since 1999. This course won the Sloan Consortium Award for Excellence in Online Education, and it is the second most downloaded podcast series on iTunes U.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
That's great.
Cool.
This guy knows more about the Beatles than really someone should.
Proving once again that the Beatles are transcendent across generational lines, right?
That's true, yeah.
It reminded me of something. Remember our guest a couple weeks ago, Henry Diltz?
Yeah, sure.
So I was up at the Pantages for the Wicked on Thursday night, and we went across the street to the W to go to the restroom before we headed out because we parked across the street. That's where the Morrison Hotel Museum is in Hollywood. So I was walking up, and there it was.
Wow.
And I actually snapped a picture of it.
Oh, wow.
Which we'll show on the radio here. Everybody can take a look at it. And I was like, oh, wait, that's it. And the kids were like, oh, that's the guy that you had on the show.
Did you get a chance to walk in?
It was closed because it was late at night. But it's a side right off the lobby, really cool with the painting on it. And great, cool place. I mean, you can see the photos and, you know, it's like, wanted to go in and buy something, but they were closed.
Yeah, very cool, man.
But yeah, so.
And that show, of course, we're editing right now. We'll be showing that on Cox coming up soon. We maybe even take our cameras up and visit them up there at the gallery and take some images up there as well. Okay, we're out of here today. Miss April, this, of course, is OC Caravan Cakes 93.5 FM. April, oh, here's a picture. Boy, that's a great photo, too, by the way.
Plays really well on radio right now.
No, but I mean, you're taking it from the outside, the window in. You see the Morrison Hotel, and you got the...
I have an artistic eye, Scott.
You
don't know that about me.
No, I can see that, my
friend. I was photo editor in my yearbook in high school.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah, there you go. Awesome. They're learning new things every day.
All right, take us out of here, April. A little music, please.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart. Without saying a word, you can light up the dark. Try as I may, I can never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing.